One day Adam was walking through the Garden of Eden, feeling very lonely, causing God to ask, "What's wrong with you, Adam?" Adam replied that he didn't have anyone to talk to. So God announced that he was going to give him a companion called a woman. "A woman," Adam replied. And then God described her. "She will be someone to cook for you and wash your clothes. She will always agree with every decision you make. She will bear your children and never ask you to get up in the middle of the night to take care of them. This woman will not nag you and will always be the first to admit when she is wrong. She will show you love and compassion all the days of your life." "Wow," said Adam. "What's that going to cost me, Lord?" God responded, "An arm and a leg." Adam thought for a moment and said, "Lord, what can I get for a rib?" One of the ancient titles of our Blessed Mother is the New Eve, and it's based upon St. Paul's writings, which says that Christ is the new Adam, the second Adam. And you can't have a new Adam without having a new Eve as well. And many of the fathers and doctors of the church have said that Mary is the new Eve. Eve became the mother of the dead and the dying because she and Adam sinned. Mary became the mother of the living because she said yes to God and brought our Savior into the world. So our Blessed Mother is called the new Eve. The first Eve said no to God. Mary said yes to God. The first Eve showed disobedience. Mary showed obedience. The first Eve, pride. The new Eve, humility. And it was Mary's yes that undid the knot of Eve's no. And we see, of course, that the mother of the Messiah would have so many great joys during her lifetime. I mean, just to be able to carry the Son of God in your womb for 9 months, to be able to give birth to the Savior of the world, it was great joy. And the women in those days had longed, every one of them longed to be the mother of the Messiah, the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. They waited thousands of years. And of course, it was a great privilege and a great joy to be the mother of the Messiah. But of course, with the joys also come the sufferings. That's why we call Mary the Mother of Sorrows, the statue of Our Lady of Sorrows here. Today is the celebration of our annual feast day for our parish. Yesterday, September 15th, was the feast day of Our Lady of Sorrows. And the church, the diocese, is allowing us to say the Mass of Our Lady of Sorrows at every one of our weekend Masses this weekend as we celebrate the feast day of our parish, the feast day of Our Lady of Sorrows. Now, traditionally, there are seven principal sorrows of our Blessed Mother, seven primary sorrows. And I think that we can really relate these to our daily life and how we live our spiritual life and how we deal with sufferings in our own life. The first sorrow of our Blessed Mother was what we heard in today's Gospel, the prophecy of Simeon. Simeon was this saintly elderly man that God had promised that he would not die until he gazed upon the Messiah. And so when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus at 40 days old to present him in the temple, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and said, "Lord, now I can die in peace. My own eyes have seen our salvation, have seen the Savior of the human race." And then it says he blessed the parents. He blessed Joseph and Mary. But then he turned to Mary individually and he said to her, "One day a sword of sorrow will pierce your soul." He didn't say that to Joseph. Simeon must have known that Joseph was not going to be there when Jesus was crucified 30 years later. But Mary was. And he said, "A sword of sorrow, Mary, will pierce your soul." So that is the first sorrow of our Blessed Mother, the prophecy of Simeon. Number two, the flight into Egypt. When Mary gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem, King Herod had found out about it by the coming of the Magi, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews?" And because of that, Herod knew that a newborn king was born somewhere in Bethlehem, so he sent out his death squad of soldiers to kill every male child under the age of 2. And he sent this squad of soldiers into Bethlehem. Well, Joseph had been warned in a dream to escape and flee to Egypt. So Joseph took Mary and the child, and they fled into Egypt. And so they were exiles, they were refugees in the foreign country for maybe 3 years, as many as 7 years perhaps. And Joseph had to, you know, find work, he had to learn the language, he had to get a job and find a home and shelter for Mary and Joseph. And so we think in this day and age of all refugees and all exiles throughout the world, those who are displaced because of war, fighting, famine. We think of those in North and South Carolina who had to leave their homes because of the hurricane, how they had to travel to other places to find safety and refuge. And hopefully their homes will be okay when they go back to them. But Our Lady knows what it's like to lose one's home, to have to leave one's own country and travel to a foreign land and learn new languages and be able to find shelter in a foreign land. The third sorrow of Our Lady is when she lost Jesus for 3 days in Jerusalem. Jesus was 12 years old, and it says in Scripture that Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem, as was their custom. Every year they would go up for the Jewish feast of the Passover. But it says that this time the Lord deliberately stayed behind without his parents knowing it. And this was perhaps because usually men and women left the city from different gates. A 12-year-old could either go with the father or with the mother. And then they would join up in a big caravan of hundreds of people, and they would travel, you know, a day's journey. And then at night, all the children would come back to their parents, and after the first night, and that's when they discovered the Lord had deliberately stayed behind in Jerusalem. Then they had a full day's journey all the way back to Jerusalem, and then they found him on the third day in the temple. What was going through Our Lady's heart, mind, and soul during these 3 days, having lost her son? Imagine losing a 12-year-old child in New York City or Los Angeles or Rio de Janeiro, or one of the great cities of the world. And imagine what was going through the heart of our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph at this. And Bishop Sheen says that Our Lady, of course, never sinned. We know that from the teachings of the Church. Our Lady never committed a sin, a venial sin or a mortal sin. But God allowed her to experience what it was like to lose God, to be separated from God. So for 3 days, Our Lady felt what it was like to lose God in her life, to lose Jesus. And the great joy, of course, when they found him sitting in the temple talking to the chief priests and elders and the scribes. And so their sorrow was turned into joy. But we think of people that have lost God in their life, people that have left the church, drifted away from God, who are lost, who have separated themselves from God. We pray for them. We pray that they may come back and find God in the church and to find Christ present in his sacraments. And then number four, the fourth sorrow of Our Lady is the meeting of Jesus and Mary on the way of the cross, the Calvary. We think of this every time we do the Stations of the Cross, where we meditate upon Jesus meets his mother on the way of the cross. I hope all of you got to see the movie that came out a number of years ago, The Passion of the Christ. It's a very powerful movie, but the greatest scene in the movie, in my opinion, the most beautiful, powerful scene, is when Jesus is carrying the cross through the streets of Jerusalem, and she sees Jesus falling and going in face down into the stone, and she remembers when he was a young child, how he fell, and Our Lady came and embraced him and picked him up when he was a young child. And so she runs to Jesus, and she embraces him and helps him and comforts him. And it is such a powerful, beautiful scene. Jesus meets his mother, and he says to her, "Behold, mother, I make all things new." And it's just a powerful scene in that movie. Jesus meets his mother. And so Our Lady was there to comfort Christ. And I know that all of you have gone to the hospital to visit people that are suffering. Maybe you visited a shut-in or somebody at a nursing home. Maybe you visited somebody that just had a tragedy in their life. You are like our Blessed Mother visiting Jesus. You're there to comfort them. And just as Our Lady strengthened and comforted Christ, so we're called too to visit and strengthen those who are carrying heavy crosses, those who are suffering. Number 5, the crucifixion. Mary stands at the foot of the cross. And this is when the prophecy of Simeon was fulfilled. The soldier, to prove that Jesus had died, took a lance, a sword, and thrust it into the heart of Christ. And out flowed blood and water, showing that he's truly dead. Jesus did not feel that wound. He felt all the other wounds, the scourging at the pillar, the crowning with thorns. But the wound in his side, he did not feel. He was already dead. But who felt that wound? His Blessed Mother. She stood at the foot of the cross. And when that sword went through our Lord's heart, her soul was pierced with sorrow. And the prophecy of Simeon was fulfilled. But notice how Our Lady bore her own sufferings. She stood at the foot of the cross. Now, there was a movie that came out years ago, maybe in the 70s, a brilliant movie called Jesus of Nazareth. It was a wonderful movie, but there's only one scene in the movie that I don't agree with, and that's when Jesus was being crucified. The portrayal of Mary is that she was rolling around on the ground, crying and screaming her head off. I don't believe that. That's not what the Bible says. Our Lady stood at the foot of the cross, filled with grief and sorrow, but she suffered with strength and with dignity. And Our Lady, it says, stood at the foot of the cross. And again, we too will often stand at the side of others who are suffering. Number 6, Jesus' body is taken down from the cross and placed in the arms of his mother. We see this portrayed in Michelangelo's Pietà. I'm sure all of you have seen that image of Our Lady holding the dead body of her son over her arms. And so beautifully portrayed in Michelangelo's Pietà. Lastly, number 7, the Blessed Mother places Jesus' body in the tomb and wraps him in the shroud. Our Lady experienced many deaths in her lifetime. Our Lady had buried her own parents, St. Anne and Joachim. So she knows what it's like to lose her mother, to lose her father. And then she became a young widow. Our Lady was very young when St. Joseph died, sometime between the age when Jesus was 12 and 30. So Mary became a very young widow, and she had to bury her husband. So she knows what it's like to lose a spouse, as some of you as well. You know how difficult that is. And then, of course, she had to bury her own son. Perhaps the hardest thing ever a parent has to do is to attend the funeral of a son or a daughter. And Mary stood at the foot of the cross, and then she had to place her son in the tomb. So Our Lady knows what it's like to lose a child. So Mary is called Our Lady of Sorrow. She is there to comfort us. Some of you have lost parents or spouses or even children, your grandchildren. The grief can be crushing, and yet there is strength that comes from God, from the prayers of our Blessed Mother, to carry your sufferings with great strength through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. And as Our Lady placed Jesus in the tomb, even though she was grieved with sorrow, she was also filled with joy. Because Christian suffering, Christian death, is different. When a Christian experiences suffering, it's also filled with joy. Because Jesus was going to rise from the dead. The Blessed Mother knew that Jesus is going to rise from the dead. And that there is a heaven. There is eternal life with God. And so despite the sufferings and difficulties in this world, Our Lady, yes, is our woman of sorrows, but she's also Our Lady of joy because she is filled with faith. She was a woman of faith, and we too can, even in the midst of suffering, have strong faith and be filled with the promise of joy and the promise of the resurrection.